As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a show me showdown. Show me the facts, show me the law, and show me your evidence, please. Yeah, we got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, won't you? And welcome to our Wednesday, September the 14th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming at you live as we do right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, Monday through Friday. OracleBroadcasting.com. Of course, my name is William Roberts. Always good news, at least news. Hard facts, certainly that. And workable solutions, when we can find them and where you can find them. But if you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're most certainly in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular of all things and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. Be a part of today's broadcast. You can log on and bookmark becomevocallocal.com to engage in our chat room discussion, or you can pick up the phone calls throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call in at area code 512-904-8014. To join me live on air and from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. By now, all of our regular listeners have written that down on the table. Put it up on your monitor screen there. Remember it. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email, as so many do, at bvlhost@centurytel.net, bvlhost@centurytel.net. Always appreciate getting your emails. And for those without internet access, listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me via snail mail at William Roberts Post Office Box 96 out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's P.O. Box 96, Exeter Mo, the big Mo to me, 65647, the postal zip zone. A big shout out to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, RealLibertyMedia.com, Channel 16, and TalkStreamLive.com, and elsewhere, broadcasting this content to their local listening audiences. Our call-in number again remains 866-841-1065. Please make a note of it. I have a habit of not repeating it through the broadcast. Precious metals consolidate, remaining bullish on continued risk aversion. We'll talk about that in the market reports daily in Asian Economic Summit in progress right now. We'll talk about that as well. Bridge battles, Swiss bankers, confidence wanes, all that in the news basket this morning. And later in the broadcast, we'll go back into central banking, banking history, property and property rights. Much, much more. We'll take your calls as well throughout the broadcast. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, but an hour ago, found gold trading off another $8.40 at $1,825.80 a troy ounce in the spot market this morning. Silver moves down 19 cents at $40.94 an ounce. Platinum down, up $6 at $1,817, and palladium off $1 at $721 a troy ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market kind of doing the tighten up, moving things into position, about a $13 spread. Lots of action up and down, but it's a very narrow range at $1,815.20 for your low, $1,838.70 so far on the day for a high. But at $1,825.80, your gold is up year to year, $558 even, for a 43.98% return year to year on your investment in RM, that precious noble metal. The London gold fix this morning, the boys in London, that's the London Bullion Market Association, set the price at $1,829. It's been below that, it's been above that, it's been all over the place. But that was the price. They said it, we say it. SBDR gold shares overnight, they claim to have paired off about 0.61 metric tons of their holding this morning. Ostensibly, they're holding 1,241.31 metric tons in their electronic treasure chest, valued on these spot prices at $72.6 billion. We'll be right back. Much more to come. Stay tuned.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the meadows of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back once again to our Wednesday, September the 14th, 2011, to our broadcast to Become Vocal Local, coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. So glad you joined us this morning. Let's go back into our market report, close this out, put it behind us for this morning. Again, as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, now that would be an hour ago, gold was trading off $8.40 an ounce at $18.25.80, silver off 19 cents at $40.94. Well, how things changed back on the 6th of September, a week ago, 8 days ago. Gold was hit a new all-time high at $1,923.70 in the futures. Gold trading this morning about $100 below that. But anyway, and platinum this morning up $6 at $1,817. Palladium off a dollar at $7.21 even. And again, the London gold fix this morning, the boys in London set the price at $1,829. They'll have an afternoon price fixing as well. The Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday closed up 45 at 11,106. The NASDAQ up 37 at 2532. And the S&P 500 closing up 11 at 1,173. Crude oil this morning off 55 cents at $89.66 for those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude, delivered as they are at the Cushing Hub in Oklahoma. Cushing, Oklahoma, U.S. dollar index this morning, the trade-weighted basket of currencies. Little Timmy Geithner, he's in the news this morning. Well, he's out there swinging his little trade-weighted basket of currencies in the European face, and they're probably not going to buy it. Nevertheless, we've got a basket of currencies, too, to deal with right here in the North American Security and Prosperity Partnership Agreement, where this morning the Canadian loonie off 45 basis points exchanges at parity with the U.S. dollar. All right? They're pushing them across the counter right now in the banks. $1 U.S. for $1 Canadian. That's a reversal from the weeks and months past. The Mexican peso this morning, likewise, we're having to round up to get it off 3 basis points again this morning. We're having to round up to get it, but it's at 8 cents U.S. So multiplier there for all of you going across to Tijuana to see Lucy. It's going to cost you 12.8910 pesos to buy a buck on the other way around as well. The euro this morning up 7 basis points at $1.37, continuing its decline. The British pound moving down as well, up 8 basis points, and yet exchanges against the U.S. dollar at $1.58. The Swiss franc continues to make headline news, moving up this morning 25 basis points against all the desires of the Swiss and central bankers. But this morning exchanges against the U.S. dollar for $1.14. The bond market this morning, your bonded indebtedness, the U.S. Treasuries, the 2-year yield is 0.19%, continuing its very low trend. The 10-year is at 2.01%, moving up noticeably from where it was just yesterday. The 30-year is at 3.35%. Of course, that impacts the mortgage markets, where this morning we find the 15-year fixed rate mortgage national average moving down from 3.42% a month ago to 3.36% this morning. The 30-year moves down from 4.22% to 4.15%. And, of course, people are rushing into the banks to refinance at these rates. The prime rate this morning is 3.25%. It's been locked in stone for months, and it'll probably stay there for a while yet. And your gold-to-silver ratio, gentlemen, will take you 44.62 ounces of silver to bring home 1 ounce of gold, but your baby's going to like it, so bring home some of that gold and silver. At least that's my take on things. Let's jump into the economic calendar and find out what their take is from Econo Day, Wednesday. Lots of stuff happening today and tomorrow. Mortgage bankers purchase apps are out this morning. We're going to find out how many people took advantage of these lowering rates and went in and refinanced and purchased loans from the bankers. Producer price index is out, retail sales is out, business inventories is out. We'll talk about all of that. The petroleum EIO petroleum status report will be out in a while, not quite out yet. Tomorrow, consumer price index will be out, the Empire State manufacturing survey, and the jobless claims. Everybody's waiting for that one breathlessly. And on Friday, we'll close out the week with the consumer sentiment. But let's take a look and see what we've got in the basket. The business inventories... Here's the report off Econo Day, www.econoday.com. Business inventories rose moderate 0.3% in June. Okay, so they're adding more boxes at the big box store against a 0.4% rise in business sales to keep the stock-to-sales ratio unchanged at 1.28. So things are not looking too peppy there. The retail sales component showed a 0.2% rise, so I guess more paper clips were necessary, a few more staples, and give me another one of those trusty pencils, right? Yeah. In June, versus a 0.3% rise in sales, the manufacturing component gained 0.2%. Again, people, 0.2. You take 100 pennies and lay it out on the table, add 2 more pennies to it. Does that impress you? No. While wholesalers' inventories, largely imports, jumped 0.6%, more recently, manufacturers' inventories increased 0.5% in July, while for the same month, wholesaler inventories jumped 0.8%. I don't know whether these are jumps, minor groans, slight shifts, rising up from the table. I wouldn't call them jumps. The mortgage bankers' purchase applications, here's the report. In a shortened September the 9th week that included Labor Day, and we got to have those merchant man's holy days, the purchase index shot 7% higher. Now, that's pretty high. The purchase index shot 7.0% higher, with the refinance index up 6%. That's a lot. Mortgage, these numbers are probably wrong. They'll be revised next week. Mortgage bankers were busy in the week as interest rates came down. They've been low like this for months. Anyway, as interest rates came down, with the average 30-year mortgage falling 6 basis points to an extremely low, and that's true, 4.17%. But the purchase index, which before this week had been long lifeless, will have to extend its gains in the upcoming weeks before it signals any strength in the underlying housing market. The next data on housing sector will be the Home Builders Index out next Monday. Let's go to the next one. Econo Day. This is the place where all the blogosphere and all of the news writers go. They get their numbers here, then they go into their Rolodex, get a few experts to say, and fluff out their articles. But this is the kernel that they're building upon. This morning, the producer price index figures are out, and the inflation eased in August at the producer level, despite a surge in food prices. Uh-oh, watch out. Oh, my goodness. A surge in food prices. Have you noticed it? I have. $100 doesn't go very far in the grocery store, and yesterday I had to buy diesel for my truck, and I can tell you that my truck turns its nose up at anything less than a $100 bill, a $20 bill into my diesel, and it didn't even move the needle on the gas gauge. The producer price indexes, producer prices in August were unchanged percent after rebounding 0.2% in July. Again, 0.2% is no rebound at all. The August figure was marginally higher than the consensus forecast for a 0.1% decline. If this is what the EKG was looking like in the hospital, folks, they would already be pulling the sheets up, okay? By major components, energy fell 1% after dipping 0.6% the month before. Gasoline dropped 1% following a 2.8% decrease in July. Food costs, in contrast, surged 1.1% after jumping 0.6% the month before. So this is the producer price index. This is what they have to add into that box that they call Cheerios, okay? And the higher the cost of wheat goes, the higher your Cheerios goes, the higher the diesel is, the more expensive it is to get it to your store.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined food, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals have created our 40-day, 40-night, 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free, 10 to 20-year shelf life. The pail contains enough whole food and nutrition for one person to survive well for 40 days and nights, with recipes too. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. The pail includes organic rolled oats, millet, brown rice, green lentils, garbanzo beans, black beans, pinto beans, quinoa, pancake mix, non-fat powdered milk, sprout blend, sprouted sunflower seeds, organic Enerfood, chia seeds, miso powder, and a Cajun spice blend to give some flavor to your meals. This is 100% organic. This is the way to get prepared. Call today, 866-762-9238, or go to enerfood.com.
You are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
So we'll close out the Econoday information with this one. Retail sales in August came in softer than expected. Not a good story. By the type of sales, numbers were about evenly mixed. Well, you look up here and they see at the retail sales month to month change. The consensus range was from a minus 3 to a plus 0.7, but they came in at 0% on retail sales. So I guess it'd be a good time to take a vacation if you happen to be a merchant. Anyway, overall, retail sales in Oxford slowed to flat. In other words, no change. Ain't going to be no change. No change. After rising 0.3% in July, the August figure was below the market median estimate for a 0.2% boost. I don't know who they were hoping was going to give them the boost, but they gave them the boot out the door. Excluding autos, you know, it's interesting. You know, it's interesting we... we're taxed, we're licensed, we're inspected, selected, and detected, tasered alongside the road, whiplashed, and thrown into prison for engaging in commerce, motoring around in these vehicles, you know, with our driver license and all the rest of that RFID stuff. But automobiles have long been considered a household good, a consumer product, you know. It's like a, you know, having to buy a, get a tax for your Lazy Boy recliner or your, you know, Sealy Posturepedic mattress, you know. Anyway, but they always exclude autos here in these numbers, and that's not part of the retail sales. Excluding autos, it all edged up 0.1% following a 0.3% rise in July. The consensus had called for a 0.3% increase. Then they also take out gasoline, but gasoline sales rose 0.3% after jumping 0.9% in July. Of course, I didn't see any of that decreasing going on anywhere. Was out there yesterday, like I said, and had to pay the exorbitant price of $3.75 a gallon for diesel fuel, which just kind of confirms my desire to be a recluse, not like the brown recluse spiders hanging out in my house. Sales excluding autos and gasoline in August increased by a 0.1%. Leading the increase were electronics and appliance stores and sporting goods, hobby, and amazingly, bookstores. So I guess people are getting back to playing board games and reading books, and that's a good thing. Of course, there was a lot of electronics, too, and appliances, and that's not a good sign because that all points to the cheap Chinese plastic crap flooding into America from our trading partner in China. Tugging down, the notables were miscellaneous store retailers and also clothing stores. So we'd rather just wear last year's garments to school one more time. Outside of autos and gas, sales were mixed, leading the increase for electronics again and appliances, sporting goods, blah, blah, blah. Retail sales on a year-ago basis came in at 7.2% compared to 8.3%, excluding motor vehicles. They keep having to take that one out. Sales were up 7.3%. Why? Well, because automobile sales are pretty much flat. We've got a caller hanging on, been on the line since the morning show started. Let's see if we've got a caller that's listening or that wants to be on the air. Good morning, caller. Okay, that caller is not interested in being on there. He's probably listening, and that's a good thing. You can always listen by phone if you want to, folks. And if you'd like to call in throughout the broadcast, the number is 866-841-1065. Let's go back in and find out what's happening in little Timmy Geithner's land. You know, if you go up on the Internet and do a little bit of research, find out something about the Pilgrim. Well, he's the cat pajama of the Pilgrims. he walks with the big people. He walks around with the Queen of England and a lot of the biggest folk on the planet. He's a master blaster here, this little Timmy Geithner. I mean, you wouldn't know it by looking at him. He's very diminutive, you know, in stature. Taps his toes a lot while he's sitting in the meetings, too. Anyway, little Timmy's in the news. Geithner takes tougher tone on Europe to fight debt crisis roiling markets. This by Ian Katz and Sandrine Rostallo, writing collaboratively for Bloomberg. Treasury Secretary Little Timmy will urge European governments to step up their crisis-fighting efforts amid the usurper's administration concerns that the region's woes may hurt the U.S. economy. Hey, wait a minute, Demi. Hold on a minute there, Bubba. Back up one time. No, you got it all wrong. You see, it's the U.S. economy that's screwing the rest of the world. You ought to know better, coming out of the the New York Fed the way that he does. You ought to know better. He's connected globally. These sort of things shouldn't be stated in the press. Geithner will press European Union finance ministers. I wonder how closely he'll press them. When he meets with them this week, a euro area official said, the official spoke on a condition of anonymity. What a weird word. Because Preparation H for the meeting, which takes place in Wrocław, Poland, on September the 16th and the 17th, are confidential. Wrocław, Poland. Anyway, Polish jokes this morning. It'll be the first time Geithner has attended a session of Europe's Economic and Financial Affairs Council, known as ECOFIN. Here's the quote. The U.S. has always been discreetly preoccupied and discreetly present, and now it's starting to be intensely preoccupied and intensely present, close quote, said Nicholas Vernon, a senior fellow at Bruegel, a Brussels-based economics research group. Chinese Premier Wen Jiabao today indicated limits to what his nation will do to counter the European crisis in a speech at the World Economic Forum. Bet you didn't know it was happening. Wasn't in the news. I only found it this morning. World Economic Forum in Dalian, China. He said that countries must put their own house in order. He added that China's own stable growth is among its contributions to the world economy. All right? So let's go over here, jump over and take a look, see what's going on. I found that link. That's one of the reasons why we go to Bloomberg, because they do drop interesting things into their articles that you're not going to find anyplace else. Here's the annual meeting of the new champions 2011. This is the headline right off the website, World Economic Forum. You can find it for yourself, www.weforum.org. Under events, you'll find it, annual meeting of the new champions 2011. You can watch sessions live or on demand. They've got all kinds of tweets going on here. The annual meeting of the new champions, the Summer Davos. So we all go over to Switzerland for the Davos in the wintertime when they ski and dress up in winter garments. But this is the Summer Davos. It's the foremost global business gathering in Asia. And it doesn't even make headline news here on Bloomberg or elsewhere. It's happening now. Introduced in 2007 in close collaboration with the People's Republic of China and with the personal support of Premier Wen Jiabao, last year's meeting in Tianjin convened 1,300 participants, including over 400 CEOs from foreign partner and member companies, together with up-and-coming leaders from business, politics, science, technology, and elsewhere from 80 countries. In 2011, we expect even stronger participation with over 1,500 participants. Chinese Premier Wen Jiabao tells the annual meeting of the new champions, China will do what it can to contribute to the global economic recovery and stability. Quote, I believe China's economy can achieve longer-term, better quality growth. Wen told the more than 1,500 industry, government, technology, and civil society leaders gathered at the Summer Davos meeting in Dalian, this will be our new contribution to strong, sustainable, global growth. Little Timmy, he's over there trying to flex his muscles in Poland. Anyway, just to really keep things in perspective, here's another one off Bloomberg. Chris Christoph, writing this one, Detroit bridge owner gets Cox backing to keep Canada crossing his alone. Whew. You could read that one about 16 different ways for a headline, though. It's catching. Billionaire Manuel Moron, who beat out Warren Buffett to buy the Ambassador Bridge. These bridges and skyways and turnpikes, I can't keep up with it. Everything's for sale. But, of course, the Ambassador Bridge was purchased a long time ago by the morons. And the morons have been owning it ever since. Anyway, the moron is fighting back a plan championed by Michigan Governor Rick Snyder to build a public competitor to the busiest U.S.-Canada border crossing. We'll be right back.
Home of cutting edge talk radio online worldwide at oraclebroadcasting.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the oraclebroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member streams that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to oraclebroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available, and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice-over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Introducing the world's first and only Swiss Gold Savings Plan, specifically designed to be simple and affordable for families worldwide. This is the best way to trade rapidly depreciating paper money for gold. Our product is 999.9% fine Kinnebar-grade gold ingots, refined in weights as small as 0.5 gram, and embedded into a protective card. Finally, everybody can afford to protect themselves with gold. And, best of all, you now have a zero-cost, zero-obligation, once-in-a-lifetime golden opportunity to earn true wealth by sharing this plan with others. Until now, available only to the Europeans. The program has just opened in the U.S. and Canada and is experiencing explosive growth. When you have everything to gain and nothing to lose, you owe it to yourself to at least check it out. For full details, please go to www.swissgoldbythegram.com or click on our banner ad on the oraclebroadcasting.com website. They say timing is everything, and your timing is perfect.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
So we got little Timmy Geithner over there visiting with the Poles. We got Wen Jiabo, Hu Jintao. Then we got the cocks, the boners, and the wieners all in the news. It's getting a little bit pornographic. Anyway, let's do the best we can with it. Moron, 83 years old, a Detroit trucking company owner known as Matty. It'll be Matty the Moron. Matty Moron. Good morning, Matty. Anyway, Matty. Matty. Matty controls his city's 81-year-old, get this now, traffic-choked main link to Windsor, Ontario. You ever think about that? You're driving across the bridge, you go, wow, beautiful bridge. It's an old one, too, and this is really long. And it's privately owned. Interesting, huh? Anyway, it's in the news this morning. You can see he wants to build his own adjoining six-lane span, and has lobbied lawmakers and spent more than $1 million on television advertising, labeling the Republican governor's idea a boondoggle. At stake in the fight, which has drawn in the diplomats, the Tea Party backing Koch brothers, and residents of one of Detroit's poorest neighborhoods, is the control of a crossing that carries one quarter of the truck commerce between the U.S. and Canada, and more than 7 million vehicles operating in commerce, according to the Public Border Operators Association. The Public Border Operators Association. Here's a quote. This is Canada's number one national infrastructure priority. Roy Norton, the nation's consul general in Detroit said in a phone interview. All right, trucks in 2010 accumulated a collective 5.2 million hours of delays at the Ambassador Bridge, costing Ford Motor Company alone $13.7 million, according to a report to be released this month by the Center for Automotive Research in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Now opening, under Snyder's plan, this is the governor here, Michigan and Canada would hire a contractor to build and run a Detroit River Bridge 2 miles south of the Ambassador. The contractor would determine financing for the estimated $950 million cost of the so-called New International Trade Crossing. That's capital N, New, capital I, International, capital T, Trade, capital C, Crossing. All right, the New International Trade Crossing. There's no pronounceable acronym here. NITSI? Maybe. Canada has offered to foot as much as $550 million of Michigan's bill for connecting roads, money that might leverage $2 billion in U.S. highway funds for projects around the state. Norton said tolls would repay the sum. We got $550 million being ponied up by Canada, $2 billion in U.S. highway funds, and we're spending about $400 million for customs plazas. All right, the U.S. and Canadian governments also chipping in $400 million each for customs plazas. Why? And how is this going to work out for a private bridge? Wow. Anyway, today, the Senate Economic Development Committee will resume hearings on the plan, which has tested Snyder's sway in the state capitol, dominated by his fellow capitals, Republicans, excuse me. As of now, he says, the votes are not there, said the Republican Senator Mike Cole, who chairs the committee. Hands off. Snyder's bill would authorize a joint Michigan-Canada authority to hire a builder and issue revenue bonds on its behalf to finance the new bridge. And bonds wouldn't have the state's credit backing, nor would Michigan spend any money on the plan itself beyond paying the contractor. It's very rare for these arrangements to go forward without state assistance. Well, you dig into the article and you find out the Koch brothers are in there, they're working with the Tea Party, that the morons have been financing, you know, to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars, the local candidates, he's buying the best, you know, politicians he can get. And here's what it says. Everybody wants a private bridge. The question is, do they want a private bridge for the one politically active family with exclusive access to the monopoly? The battle has spread as far as Toronto, where moron paid for television ads. Fox TV commentator Dick Morris said in an interview with a radio station that needn't be mentioned here, Americans for Prosperity, okay, note this now, Americans for Prosperity, the free market advocacy group founded by billionaire industrialists Charles and David Koch. Now, in another article, we're going to go over and visit with the Swiss central bankers, and we're going to find a Koch over there. And, of course, you know, New York, we reported on that yesterday. They got a Koch over there that used to be the mayor, right? Lots of Kochs in this story. So Charles and David Koch conducted a public relations campaign, including mass mailings to voters. He has, here's the quote, he has co-opted some of the Tea Party movement, which sends shivers up Republicans' backbones, close quote, said Tom Shields, spokesman for a coalition of business, labor, and political leaders supporting Snyder's plan. Quote, he's done a pretty good job of taking a stand that this is a free enterprise versus big government issue. Well, there's going to be more to that. You'll have to keep your eyes peeled. Forbes magazine's reporting on it and others as well. It's a long article. It's up on Bloomberg. You'd find it the rest of the morning. For yourself, it's Detroit bridge owner gets the Koch backing to keep Canada crossing his and his alone. Here's another one. Deposit flight from European banks. We're going to talk about this when we get into the banking system. We'll talk about bank deposits and bank reserves. We've talked about that in the past as we continue our study of Federal Reserve banking and central banking in general. But deposit flight from European banks means collateral risk is piling up at the European Central Bank. This article by Yalman Amaron, or Honoron, writing individually for Bloomberg. New news. European banks are losing deposits as savers and money funds spooked by the region's debt crisis search for havens, a trend that could worsen economic and financial conditions. And so, you know, when you take your money, your shekels, and you go and deposit that in a bank someplace, the banks have to consider it a liability. It's on the liability side of everything because they need to back that up with their reserves. But the reserves get deposited with the central bank, the Federal Reserve here in America, probably with the European Central Bank as well. You have to take a percentage. You've got to cover your deposits. So they're considered a liability. And because they're demand deposits, in other words, you go into a bank and you make a deposit, you could change your mind in a moment, come back in and demand it back again in cash, not just a check, not just digits, but in cash. It's a liability. They have to keep currency in the vault, etc. And so that's a real problem for the banks. But they know that only a certain percentage of the people that deposit their money, their digits in the bank, will actually ask for them. And so they're able to loan out the margin. And they do. Anyway, retail and institutional deposits at Greek banks fell 19% in the past year and almost 40% at Irish lenders in 18 months. One of the reasons why the Swiss franc continues to go up and up and up is because people get out of their Irish currencies, they get out of the Greek currencies, and they go over and they buy Swiss francs. And when they're done doing that, they buy gold and silver. And that really concerns the central bankers. But while the European Central Bank has picked up some of the slack, providing about 500 billion euros of temporary financing, so you go to the Federal Reserve and they give you that quantitative easing, they help to expand your balance sheet. Anyway, of temporary financing, banks are cutting lending, which could slow growth in their home countries. They're also paying more to keep and attract deposits. Or, in the case of Italy, selling bonds to retail customers for 5 times the interest they offer on savings account, which will erode the profitability of those bonds. That's right. If you please buy U.S. Treasuries, we'll give you a deal. What a heck of a deal, and we'll throw in a toaster, too. All of this is symptomatic of a lot of fear in the European financial sector. You need to be aware of this, all right? It shows that even European banks don't trust each other anymore. So they're taking their money out of the EU system, and it's similar to the distrust that happened worldwide in 2008. Where are they taking it? As we're going to find out, they're taking it to the yuan. They're taking it to China. And this is where they had in mind to go with it anyway. We're building up China's economic system, this emerging market, this superpower coming out of the Orient as the dragon rises up from the ashes. We're going to underwrite China, and we're going to beat the hell out of Western civilization to make it happen. And that's the way it's going. And that was part of the big news Brzezinski's plan all along. Talk about deposit erosion. All right. Deposits by financial institutions in Greek banks, which make up 21% of the total, have fallen by one-third since the beginning of 2010. People are doing something with their money. What are they doing with it? Well, they're putting it in their mattresses. They're putting it in gold and silver. And they're getting the hell out of Greece with it. And this article confirms all of that. In Germany, deposits by financial institutions, which again account for a third of the total, declined 12% over the same period since the collapse of Lehman Brothers. The European Central Bank figures show in France, where the erosion started last year, the same type of deposits, which make up half of their total, are down 6%. They've fallen 14% since May at Spanish banks, where they account for one-fifth of the total. Deposits include money, not real money, not gold, not silver, no, digits, more digits. This is the problem with the global central banking system, all right? There's no place to find any safe haven. There's no safe ports in the storm. If the big central banking system of the world goes down, we all go down the drain together. It's better to be independent sovereign states, living independent lives, minding our own business, so that maybe, just maybe, one of them might survive and we could extend some credit to somebody else. Anyway, we'll have to pick up that bit of insanity right after this from our sponsors. Stay tuned.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm.
Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our Microplant Powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant Powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at HempUSA.org.
Hey America, it's your old friend W here. Do not tune into True Frequency Radio with Chris and Sherry every Saturday at 10 p.m. Central here on Oracle Broadcasting. Otherwise, the terrorists win.
So once again, from this article from Bloomberg, and it's really a long article, folks, and I can't share it all with you, but if you go up on Bloomberg's website this morning and find it, it's deposit, flight from European banks means so on and so forth. That's the clue for it. But anyway, what's going on in all this? As the government starts looking for revenue, aren't they doing that right now? I mean, gangster banksters that run the government, I mean, they take the pennies off of a dead man's eyes, you know? And as the government starts looking for revenue, starts fighting tax evasion, wealthy families move their money out, said Ramirez, who covers Greek, Irish, and Portuguese banks. That dynamic is also at work in Italy, according to Carlo Alberto Carnival Maffi, or Mafia, a professor of business strategy at Milan's Bocconi, Fettuccine, Alfredo, Dolce. At the university there, deposits at the Milan-based Intesa San Paolo S.P.A., Italy's second biggest bank by assets, have fallen by 4.4% in the year ended in June. Under the mattress, people are moving deposits into safe goods, such as gold and safety deposit boxes. Well, hey, don't put your money in a safe deposit box, all right? Don't do that. The bank has two keys, remember? And when the Fed wants your dollars, they'll come get your dollars. And they'll take your gold with them, all right? Carnival Mafia said. Anyway, they're simply putting the money under the mattress to avoid taxes. They're also taking it to other countries. In terms of flight to quality, no, I must tell you, we're not experiencing that in our country. Anything like that, Becerra said. No, not a flight to quality. They're not buying gold. They're not buying silver. Not in that business. They're not buying mining stocks. No. No, they're taking home cash. See, they invest in currency. They like to have a diversified portfolio. They got a few ones. They got a few fives, a few tens. And just to really, you know, get out there and splurge, they put a few 50s and 100s into their portfolio, too. It's all just paper money. You want to keep your money at the Fed, which you know will pay you back or at the European Central Bank, which has lots of periphery Eurozone country debt, said Mansouri. What, are you out of your mind, Mansouri? You're not an advisor, are you? You want to keep your money at the Fed? Are you out of your freaking mind? Ridiculous. Anyway, it's quite the article. They say it's not sustainable for this type of, of a pricing strategy to continue. But I don't think the rates will start to come down until nervousness about European and indeed global issues calm down. Like I said, the problem is a global banking system. Can't allow it to happen. Illinois says the hospitals are no longer poorhouses shielded from tax. Are you tired of it? I am. I'll tell you what. Not only do I get taxed to support these hospitals in this area, they turn around and they don't have to pay taxes on this because they classify as nonprofits. Tim Jones writing this one for Bloomberg yesterday afternoon. More than a dozen hospitals in Illinois face the prospect of paying millions of dollars in property taxes. Oh, boo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Or in some cases, shutting down as a result of a state ruling denying exemptions for three nonprofit health care providers. Of course, you know, you wheel you in on the gurney, and if you don't have enough money, they put you in the dumpster, right? Anyway, they just pull the plug on you. No more water and no more food in Asbury Shiva. Well, that works out for her. The uncertainty has prompted at least one hospital to postpone a $23 million construction bond sale, while several others that built facilities say they won't be able to pay the bill if they lose their tax breaks. We'll go out of business without it, said Tracy Bauer. Look at the bottom line, how many millions and millions and millions of dollars, you know, the Catholic Church and their charity hospitals are raking in, all these, you know, well-fed neighbors and all the other stuff, the Home Point and all the rest of them. Open up any newspaper in America, what are the jobs that are available? You can work in a nursing home. Or you could change bedpans at the local hospital. Other than that, ain't no jobs. The challenge of such exemptions comes as Illinois confronts two financial stresses. The state's $8 billion in unpaid bills in hospitals, struggling with cuts in Medicare and Medicaid payments. While other states have battled for decades in court over the obligation to treat the poor in exchange for tax breaks, Illinois intensified the fight on August the 16th when its revenue department denied exemptions for facilities in Chicago. We'll get rid of the illegal aliens and you cut half of your losses right there. This really exposes the tip of a very big iceberg that has to deal with tax-exempt properties in general and what tax breaks contribute to the community, said John Colombo, a professor at the University of Illinois College of Law in Urbana-Champaign. A reversal of the exemptions would represent a windfall for the school districts, which collect the lion's share of the property taxes and have watched state and aid shrink and revenue fall during the economic and the housing slide. There are school districts that are hungry for this money. There's a tug and a pull in these communities. My God in heaven. Help us from this insanity. In a perfect world, it says here, everybody ought to pay property taxes, said Larry Frang, the executive director of the Illinois Municipal League. In a perfect world, Larry, are you sure that everybody ought to pay property taxes? How about getting out of my pocket, please? If I want to support the local schools and I have children in them, that would be my option. All right? Anyway, we can see where that went. Let's go to the next article before I blow it. Anyway. The usurper approves plummets on the job plan. That's right. There's a poll out there. Usurper's approval plummets on the jobs plan. Juliana Goldman writing this one for Bloomberg. A majority of Americans don't believe Barry the usurper's $447 billion job plan will help lower the unemployment rate. Skepticism he must overcome as he presses Congress for action and positions himself for re-election. Do we need to say any more? The president's job approval rating also stands at the lowest in his presidency. Only 45% believe the lying tripe that comes out of the usurper's mouth. Let's go on to the next one. This is more important. The yuan, only BRIC winner, Brazil, Russia, India, and China, and Singapore, I guess they're going to throw that in there, winner on resilience of debt crisis, China credit. This article by Lillian Karanugan. Karen Nungan. Wow. Hey, Lillian, how's your Karen Nungan this morning? China, with its centrally controlled economy. Do you have it any more plain than that? China, with its centrally controlled economy. Oh, they're not communists. No, heck no. It's just the Communist Party. Anyway, managed currency and restrictions on capital inflows has become a haven for investors fleeing widening global debt turmoil. See how this article fits with the other one perfectly? Could have been a continuation piece, and it is, really. That's what public notice is all about. Everybody in Europe is looking for a safe haven, and Chinese yuan, or the renminbi, has become a haven for investors fleeing the widening global debt turmoil. So we're driving the money to China, which is what the plan was originally. You know, the Hegelian dialectic. This is the synthesis. The yuan is the only currency among the biggest emerging nations to strengthen against the dollar this quarter, and yuan-denominated notes in Hong Kong are the only domestic bonds among the so-called BRICS to provide a positive return. Sales of dim sum debt, dim sum, sounds like dinner, dim sum, debt have tripled in 2011, and new loans in China rallied in August after sliding in July. All right? Chinese markets have shown resilience as global equities tumbled 13% since August the 1st. No small amount of manipulation going on in the U.S. markets for that to happen. Anyway, exports from China grew a more than forecast 24.5% in August. See, this real numbers, 24.5, not 0.003 or 0.002 like they report in our figures. No, no, China grew a more than forecast 24.5% in exports from a year earlier. Government data released on September the 10th. That's a quarter more, all right? You got out of every four boxes, there was one new box added. These guys are doing very well. Anyway, the renminbi remained stable versus the dollar during the global crisis in 2008 and early 2009, while most of the rest of the Asian currencies fell sharply. Well, what's the bottom line? It's when Jabo says countries need to get their own houses in order, their fiscal houses in order, before they go around the world telling everybody else how to run their business. They're not happy about it, and they're having a meeting, and they're having a big meeting over there. They're the new leaders. Swiss inflation specter lurks in the Swiss National Bank sales, this one by Klaus Wiley, or Willie, writing for Bloomberg. Swiss Central Bank president, of course, we report on the Swiss franc every morning. I'm talking about all this pressure that's coming against the Swiss franc to drive the value down. They're going to back with unlimited amount of purchasing the euro, and it's not doing well for Switzerland. Swiss Central Bank President Philipp Hildebrand, what a long aristocratic family that is, pledged to protect the economy with unlimited currency purchases, may come at a higher cost than billions of francs, faster inflation. So they're trying to do something about the inflation. You read the article 2 weeks ago about how if you wanted to get a Swiss cheese fondue, it cost you $160 to get it. Well, they're going to have even greater inflation now. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from libertystickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's libertystickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to libertystickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. Libertystickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Looking for news and real information? You found it. You found it. This is OracleBroadcasting.com.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And so welcome back to our Wednesday, September the 14th, 2011, two-hour broadcast to become vocal local, coming at you live as we do right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. You can jump up on the web if you like and go to becomevocallocal.com, becomevocallocal.com. Some changes are being made to the website. Hope you like them as they appear over the next, hopefully, weeks and months ahead. Try and bring that website a little bit more to life. But our chat room has been there from the beginning. You're certainly welcome to jump into the chat room. Lots of interesting stuff going on in there today, as it does every day. We have a very good chat community here, and you're welcome to join them. Anyway, back into our news. The first hour of the day's broadcast, as we always do on the broadcast, we cover news, financial news, banking news, global news, and all kinds of newsy news. Trying to build up some support for what we do in the second hour, which is to cover this philosophically radical notion of freedom and all the things that are stripping away our freedoms every single day, all right? And today's not going to be any exception in the process. So we talked about the Swiss inflation specter lurking in the Swiss National Bank sales. This is a central banking system we're talking about here. Credit Suisse Group AG, Barclays Capital, of course, Swiss National Bank. A lot of that is Rothschild interest. But we have Claude Maurer here writing, you can't have your cake and eat it. You should say you can't have your cake and eat it too, or he could also say let them eat cake. You can either pursue a ceiling on the exchange rate or you can fight price pressures, and that's what they're going to be dealing with. The Swiss National Bank apparently sees medium-term inflation threats as the lesser of the two evils. So a lot of numbers, a lot of fiddling around. That's what led us into our discussion of accounting as part of a study of banking, the history of banking, central banking, Federal Reserve banking, reserves, deposits, and all the terms of art that are included in the banking community and the history of banking. We've been all over this for a couple of days. We're going to continue right now. The relation of economics to accounting. Again, this is out of a book published in 1945, written by a man named Howard S. Noble, Accounting Principles, 4th edition. This is the first year university-level course in accounting at a time when it was not anticipated that everybody would continue with their accounting schools, but that anybody that had two brain cells firing would realize how important it was to understand accounting, and we can question whether it's even offered in schools today. And they certainly wouldn't offer it with a 761-page book on accounting and try and teach it in one quarter or one semester, and they're going to charge you hundreds of dollars per quarter, you know, credit hour per quarter to take that class. Of course, I was at a flea market, wise as serpents, harmless as the doves, watching my pennies, trying to squeeze the dollar till the eagle grins, found this book, Accounting Principles, 1945, picked it up at the flea market for a buck. And so I share with you, right out of the meaning and purpose of accounting, the first chapter, the relations of economics to accounting. Two different words going on here. Words have meanings, their meanings are important, it says how they are used. So economics and accounting, take these two terms, let's balance them, see what they mean. Economics shared it right out of the old Webster's Dictionary. But economics and accounting treat of similar subject matter. Similar, not the same. Synonymous, but, you know, similar, but not synonymous. Both are concerned with property. Of course, everything about accounting has to deal with property, as we've already shared and learned out of this study. It's all about property and the rights to property. Property and property rights. Of course, we went yesterday and got into the Communist Manifesto, and God help us, somebody tuned in late and heard me reading the Communist Manifesto and Vladimir Ilyich Lenin's praise for Marx. Probably thought I'm a real fruitcake and that philosophical radicalism advances communism. Far from it. Anyway, you never know what you find on alternative media. You'll never hear that sort of stuff read on the controlled media. Economics and accounting treat of similar subject matter. Both are concerned with property and with human activities relating to the production, exchange, and consumption of this property. It's all about property. John Locke said, whatever a man puts his hands to becomes his property. We'll be right back.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined food, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals have created our 40-day, 40-night, 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free, 10 to 20-year shelf life. The pail contains enough whole food and nutrition for one person to survive well for 40 days and nights, with recipes too. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. The pail includes organic rolled oats, millet, brown rice, green lentils, garbanzo beans, black beans, pinto beans, quinoa, pancake mix, non-fat powdered milk, sprout blend, sprouted sunflower seeds, organic Enerfood, chia seeds, miso powder, and a Cajun spice blend to give some flavor to your meals. This is 100% organic. This is the way to get prepared. Call today, 866-762-9238, or go to enerfood.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice-over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again right here on our Wednesday, September the 14th, 2011, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local, now in the second hour of this morning's broadcast. Last evening, I had the opportunity, I was invited to come to speak at the Far Southwest chapter of the Ozark Property Rights Congress meeting, their monthly meeting. I gave a presentation on, among all the other things, the FEMA's multi-jurisdictional all-hazard mitigation planning system. And I have to say, among all other things, because, you know, you have to weave in a lot of things to go along with it. I had a videographer come up from Arkansas to videotape the presentation. He wasn't able to get all of the presentation. I mean, you know, there's, you know, how this goes, you know, 30 parts in a series. So it's hard to have bring enough tape to cover it all. But anyway, we went through quite a bit of it. And so hopefully one of these days soon it'll be posted onto the Internet on YouTube, and you'll be able to, for the first time ever, see what your instructor looks like. Anyway, nevertheless, going back to our discussion here, of property and property rights as we study accounting of all things. What an unusual place to find it. But again, we look at this idea of general accounting, which we talked about just a little bit. And then in addition to that, we've got auditing and investigating. And think about it, the word accounting. You know, we hear all the time, responsible, responsible, responsible. Who's responsible for this? Well, we know who's responsible for it. The $1,000 question here is who's going to be held accountable? Who's going to be held to account? It's a balance sheet. You got your pluses on one side, your assets on one side. You got your liabilities or the minuses on the other. And I'm sorry, Barry, you're overdrawn. It's time for you to go away. And Jorge Bush, he had the same problem, all right? Anyway, so you've got general accounting. Then you've got auditing and investigations, cost accounting, income tax accounting, accounting systems, budgetary accounting, governmental accounting, many different branches of accounting that people fall into in their lives. But the relation of economics to accounting, looking at these two together, is important. Both, again, are concerned with property and with human activities relating to the production, exchange, and consumption of this property. Found out yesterday, just briefly, that Proudhon said, you know, the French philosopher, that all property is theft, balderdash. The man is ignorant beyond means. Anyway, he was influential in his time. It is the point of view that differentiates one from the other. It's the point of view. So we need to look at the point of view that differentiates economics and accounting. And here it is. Economics treats of wealth in relation to society or the mass of owners. It's a y'all-com. It's a big tent. Economics and economists and econometrics and demographers and all those guys. Accounting considers the interests of each owner or group of owners in this same wealth and the way in which each owner or group manages property. See, it's all about property. And there's something going on here between the collective and the individual. The collective is under the head of economics, which is why we shouldn't be surprised to find that political economy came flowing forth after Adam Weishaupt came up with the idea. Illuminati, okay? Economics, political economy. But, of course, economy, as we discovered, is much older a word than that. But economics considers the value of this property as a whole as belonging to society. This is this communitarian law. This is this collectivist communal stuff that we find in the seventh chapter of Agenda 21. Accounting attempts to measure the interest of each individual in the same property. Do you see why it's all about the point of view? The accountant deals with the individual and his relationships with property and his rights in property. Economics looks at the big picture. The economic organization of our present system of society. We found out again, this is the new economic world order. The economic organization of our present system of society, and again, this was written in 1945, is based quite largely on the private ownership of property. Karl Mordecai Marx and Friedrich Engels, writing for the English positivists in the Communist Manifesto, their number one plank is the abolition of private property and the redistribution of rents. The abolition of private property. We all know what is property. Andre Galambo says it's a man's life and all non-procreative derivatives of his life, and that freedom is 100% control 100% of the time of your property, which demands the corollary of 0% control of your neighbor's property. Our rights end with the rights of someone else's begin. The property used in business operations is owned by individuals or groups of individuals who carry on business activities for what? For their own gain. Ain't nobody going to be in business if they're losing money, honey. They'll go back to doing something else, like staying at home and saving more money to go into business again. 90% of all businesses created fail, and they always fail because they were undercapitalized. Because of the individual point of view that characterizes accounting, the amount that one person owes and that he considers as a liability is considered to be an asset of the same amount in the records of the person to whom the debt is owed. And so even though you've got all these Federal Reserve notes, they're considered to be a liability. in your bank account, but in the Federal Reserve banking account system, it is considered a credit. All right, it's an asset because they own you, sucker, lock, stock, and barrel. We never get an opportunity using the Federal Reserve notes to pay a debt off like you could using real lawful money like gold or silver. But no, with the Federal Reserve notes, all we can do is discharge the debt. It's kicking the can down the road. But somebody's going to have to pay. Somebody's eventually going to have to pay. But a debt that's too big to be paid won't be paid. And that's where we find ourselves globally. Because of the individual point of view, again, that characterizes accounting, the amount that one person owes and that he considers as a liability is considered to be an asset of the same amount in the records of the person to whom the debt is owed. So, as he says in Shakespeare's Hamlet, neither a borrower nor a lender be. The borrower is the debtor to the creditor, and yet the creditor and the debtor both look at these things in their, and when they account for them, and they've moved the numbers into different columns. That's all it amounts to. From the point of view of economics and society, receivables are not wealth. Receivables are not wealth. For whatever is payable by one is receivable in like amount by another. From the point of view of economics and society, receivables are not wealth, for they are offset by a like amount of payables. It's the balance scales. It's not mystery. It's not magic. It's simply accounting. Continuing, from the point of view of accounting, however, the receivables of one business is an asset of that business or property to be realized in cash and therefore constitutes wealth in the calculation of proprietorship or the assets of that business. So economics is general, accounting is specific. Let's go on a little bit further. Go back into our study out of the Encyclopedia of Social Sciences on bank reserves. Bank reserves. Heard all about that this morning. I'll give you a little bit more about it. The bank reserves are liquid funds kept by commercial banks. And we'll be right back on that note.
Introducing the world's first and only Swiss Gold Savings Plan, specifically designed to be simple and affordable for families worldwide. This is the best way to trade rapidly depreciating paper money for gold. Our product is 999.9% fine Kinnebar-grade gold ingots, refined in weights as small as 0.5 gram, and embedded into a protective card. Finally, everybody can afford to protect themselves with gold. And, best of all, you now have a zero-cost, zero-obligation, once-in-a-lifetime golden opportunity to earn true wealth by sharing this plan with others. Until now, available only to the Europeans, the program has just opened in the U.S. and Canada and is experiencing explosive growth. When you have everything to gain and nothing to lose, you owe it to yourself to at least check it out. For full details, please go to www.SwissGoldByTheGram.com or click on our banner ad on the OracleBroadcasting.com website. They say timing is everything, and your timing is perfect.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays for Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So one thought that needs to be borne in mind when we're looking at these older books, you know, in the 1945 accounting principles textbook that we just looked at, and in this 1930, published in 19, copyright 1930, Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences, at this time we still had lawful money, all right? We still had gold and silver. Silver was in circulation, silver certificates, redeem them at the bank for a silver dollar if you wanted to get some, you know, silver dimes. Silver quarters, and silver halves, things like that. So there's a big difference here. We didn't go into this. We didn't come out of the idea of honest weights and measures until later, when Nixon closed the gold window, and after FDR, you know, withdrew the gold and so on and so forth. We were still in a time period where we had honest weights and measures available. My bank reserves here, in this article out of the Encyclopedia of Social Sciences, and I've shared a little bit of this article with you in the past, are liquid funds. Liquid funds. It's real money. Money, money, money. Liquid. Kept by commercial banks in order to enable them to meet their demand liabilities. Demand. You go into the bank, you deposit your money, it's a demand account. You can demand it back. Kept by commercial banks in order to A, enable them to meet their demand liabilities as these are presented for payment. Perhaps the distinguishing feature of commercial banks is that while most of the bank assets are in the form of short-term obligations, and so we talk about the 2-year, the 10-year, the 30-year treasuries, those are relatively long-term. Of course, they're not short, they're not long-term when you think about it. If every day you buy some 2 years, every day you buy some 10 years, every day you buy some 30 years, down the road, all of those will be coming up, and you can liquidate them at your leisure. There's also much shorter instruments, you know, the overnight rate. Then there's the 2-week notes. I'd have to go up and check. There's much shorter timelines than that. So that's some of the immediately liquidatable stuff that's out there. But again, perhaps the distinguishing feature of commercial bank is that while most of the bank assets are in the form of short-time obligations, not collectible on demand, most of the banking liabilities are in the form of claims on the bank payable on presentation and payable on demand. You look at your Federal Reserve note, payable on demand to the bearer. Anyway, a failure to do so, drop down a little bit more than in the case of any other business concern, it is important that a bank be in a position to repay its obligations promptly, because a failure to do so would cause a loss of confidence and result in a rapid withdrawal of deposits. And they have a loss of confidence going on in Europe as we speak, and people are taking their money and putting it in the mattress anyway. Proper bank management thus involves the achievement of a certain degree of correspondence between the maturing of the bank claims on others and the anticipated rate at which demands will be made on the bank. All right? Since in the nature of things such a correspondence can never be perfect, it is necessary for the bank to keep some portion of its assets in the form immediately available for the payment of its obligations. Deposit balances which one bank may keep with other banks are generally regarded as continually available for such uses. Together with, what? Lawful money, they constitute the primary bank reserves. And so the banks deposit money with other banks, they transfer transfer money from one bank to another bank, deposit with other banks. In case their bank gets in trouble, they can go get the deposits out of the other bank and bring it back into their bank. And if that doesn't work, they go to Uncle Suck, they go to the Federal Reserve banking system, because for every deposit they have on their liability side, a certain percentage has to be sent to the Federal Reserve banks, which they then invest at interest. And then the Federal Reserve Bank, when they have a bank in trouble or too big to fail, they bail out the bank. Okay? Got it? With the increase in the size of the banks, the improvement in the quality of the secondary reserves, the amount of actual specie or lawful money reserve kept by individual banks has shown a tendency to decline, and we understand that, all right? That goes all the way back to the Rothschilds, and everybody can go up and look at all the YouTube videos and other videos that are up there, and they'll tell you all about it, or get The Power of the Purse, Lee Rogers' great performance, four-hour DVD, and watch it there. But continuing, the gold reserves, notice they use those words, gold reserves. I mean, the Federal Reserve has no gold, there's no reserves. But the gold reserves of the banking system then become centralized in the hands of a few large banks, or even of a single bank. The gold reserves got centralized, central banking. So they have all of these banks out there, and what a problem it was in the history of banking, not only in the United States, but around the world, had all these little banks out there, and they needed to close them all up. It's called amalgamation. Amalgamation. They're out there sucking up all these little banks. Well, there was a lot of confusion. Every little bank issued their own currency, and they had a lot of trouble in exchange. Exchange, foreign exchange. Foreign is out of one county to another county, out of one state to another state, out of one country to another country. Foreign exchange and the rates. And how do you know whether this note from Poughkeepsie Standard Bank has any value at all? Do they have any gold in their reserves? Well, before the internet, before the telephone, when you had to depend on a bank wire, you had to depend on a telegraph, it was hard to determine. It was really tough to send a writer out to verify whether or not there was any money on account to back up these Federal Reserve notes or whatever kind of notes they were issuing. But anyway, it continues here, and it says, in order to properly perform such functions, central banks or banks which act as reserve depositors must keep a larger gold reserve against their obligations. Well, see, that gold reserve is a real stumbling block. Why? Because gold acts as a limiter on expansion. A limiter on expansion. They can only expand and contract the money supply so much if it's all backed by gold. If it's backed by nothing but the power of your, you know, gigabytes and terabyte computer, they can expand and contract it any amount they want. There's nothing there. It's all puff and smoke. So again, in the United States, while the cash on hand of ordinary commercial banks comprises from 1 to 2% of their resources, from 1 to 2% cash on hand in bank. They'll never have anybody at the counter asking for more than 1 to 2% of their resources. The Federal Reserve Bank keeps from 40 to 70% of their resources in the form of cash on hand, such cash being mainly gold. Words have meanings, and their meanings are important. Unfortunately, their meanings change over time. But when we used to speak about cash and about money, we were talking about gold and silver certificates, and we're talking about cash as being specie, lawful money, gold. That's why Levi Strauss put the rivets on your jeans and that used hemp fiber cloth in the pockets so they can hold your gold, Dorothy. Anyway, the size of the gold reserves of the central bank determines the upper limit for the amount of credit that may be made available. And for this reason, the ratio of the gold reserve to the credit outstanding as indicated by the liabilities of the central bank shows the unused capacity for bank credit. Because this ratio may be affected by international gold shipments, which bear only an indirect relation to business conditions. And so now, under these new banking rules and all that, the banks have to hold more reserves. But it's just more digits. How many zeros are you comfortable yet? I could add three more zeros and a comma. Would that make you feel more comfortable? There's no reserves, as we all know. All right. So let's jump forward. Once again, under theory for banks, banking, commercial banking, the word commercial does not definitely characterize the operation of banks, which are commonly known as commercial banks. Now, one time we had a kind of a firewall, which necessarily didn't prove to work out too well. German banking, as we'll discover in our talks here, did well by blending this boundary, by merging these two. But originally we had this idea that there were commercial banks that dealt in commerce, mostly bills of exchange and things like that. And then we had investment banks. So you had an investment banking house and you had a commercial banking house. And so when we talk about banking commercial or commercial banking, we're talking about the first, not the latter. The word commercial does not definitely characterize the operation of banks, which are commonly known as commercial banks, although it does distinguish them from savings and mortgage banks, as well as from banks and bankers primarily engaged in the business of marketing securities and in the management of trust. Those are your investment banks. We'll carry this on right after this.
Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And before we go to our callers, and your calls are certainly welcome at 866-841-1065, let me advance just a little bit further along this, kind of, you know, save all this information for the last hour of the broadcast. But these various functions, again, now may, however, be undertaken by commercial banks. In recent years, there has been a striking tendency for banks to engage in virtually every type of financial business, a tendency which is significantly manifested in the designation commercial department for what was formerly the sole business of many banks. And so things started to morph. Here we are in the 1930s. We're moving into modern banking, the age of modern banking. getting away from the tally sticks and stuff like that. Commercial banks may be examined either on the asset side, so we're right back into accounting now, with attention directed toward loans and other investments. Loans and other investments on the asset side, or on the liability side with consideration of the sources of funds employed. On the asset side, short-time loans, readily marketable securities, and cash reserves, including bank balances with other banks, constitute the bulk of the resources of a concern engaged in commercial banking, like Goldman Sachs. While on the liability side, the significant items are obligations payable to the general public on demand or in the near future. The character of the obligations incurred in securing the major portion of the funds employed by banks in large measure limits and determines the field of their employment. That is, the nature of the liabilities determines the character of the assets. And with that, let's jump down to Texas and visit this morning with our caller, Mark, and say good morning, Mark.
Good morning, William. You know, the hardest thing I've had to do over the last few years is jump out of my dollar store mentality and try and envision myself to be one of these high-flying, you know, financiers. William, we're limited as individuals. Like when you take out a loan for a house, a mortgage, whatever, you're limited, you know, to the 30 years, whatever. But question for you, if you're a corporation, could you take out a 150-year note or a 200-year note? And I can't see why not.
Well, I don't know what would be the major advantage of a 200-year note. The longer you have an indebtedness out there, the more you're going to pay in interest. But if you could write off all of the interest, and if you had some way of being able to profit from the principal, in other words, if you, let's say you took out a 200-year note with some kind of a small, tiny little interest rate on it, and you invested all of that in gold and silver, it would be to your advantage to go ahead and keep that loan running. As your gold and silver ran up, you could continue to refinance the loan over and over again, as the International Monetary Fund does against all of the developing countries. They never get a chance to really retire any of those loans. They only roll them over. So theoretically, I could see that advantage. But for you or I, a 100-year note, I would rather, you know, neither be a creditor or a borrower and get those loans out of my way, and preferably never to borrow in the first place. But, yeah, I can see that there would be an advantage, especially if you could get the right terms.
I can see your point on that. But kind of where I'm going with this is, you know, we've heard that banks create innovation. They loan the money to get these projects off the ground, all this other propaganda. William, I'm going to suggest to you that the banks stifle innovation.
They have that perfect potential. They have the perfect potential to do so. Agreed.
They sure do. Now, let's say that, now this is just for instance, this is my opinion, whether you be General Dynamics, General Electric, or, I don't know, pick another general, they come out and they say, I'm going to put in transmission wires, build a few power plants, et cetera, and supply electricity to all of Missouri.
Okay.
And they take this 200 or 150-year note out to do this. Okay. Now, the bank's in bed with them, completely in bed. Well, let's say that William and Mark are in William's garage, and we come up with a residential unit that will supply electricity without all this dinosauric infrastructure.
Okay.
Okay, we go to, now that corporation now that did all these transmission lines, they went to four banks to get, you know, the necessary $600 million just off the top of my head to do this. Okay, they went to four different banks. Now, you and I go to one of these banks, and we say we need $2 million, and the bankster, of course, says, well, you need to tell me what your idea is, you know, in order for him to back the note.
Right.
Well, you tell him your idea, and he turns you down because you're going to be a direct competition to his 200-year note.
Right.
He will not give you the money.
So how do you go around that?
Well, you go out. You try, of course, to get private investors. That's one way. But you know, we hear on the internet all the times about General Motors coming in and buying some guy's carburetor because he was a threat. I'm going to suggest to you that may happen, you know, depending on what innovation the guy come up with. That could happen. But that's the last stage of smothering an innovation. The first stage is the banks turn you down. They tell the company about the invention, and then the company finally, after about 5 years, considering you can't get nowhere, they come in and they buy the idea.
Well, that's exactly right.
And
if you go back to the discussion that we had about the Medici, throughout the Renaissance, they were the patrons of the artists, okay? And even the artists like Michelangelo and the architects that designed all of the cathedrals and things like that. So in the beginning, you really, for your ideas, you really need to find patrons. People will help you. Now, in order for Nikola Tesla to be able to get anywhere, he needed a partner. He needed somebody like Westinghouse. He needed some other people so that they would pony up the money so that they could have he could have his laboratory and conduct his experiments. And so at that level, that's private capital coming into play. Now, let's say as soon as Nikola Tesla came up with his idea, unlimited free energy, no wires, then what he would do, instead of going to a bank and trying to borrow money, because how can you borrow money on that, what he does instead is he goes to Goldman Sachs or some one of these other investment banking arms, and he says, look, what I'm going to do is we're going to float an initial public offering. I'm going to go public with this instead of a closely held corporation, or even if it is a closely held corporation, we're going to incorporate to minimize our risk, and we're going to sell stock shares in our company. And it's just like up on Kitco this morning. You can look at these mining stocks, some of them 50 cents, some of them $2.50. But you go to the public, and in an initial public offering, you have them come in, you write up a bylaws, and you have a board of directors. They elect officers and so on and so forth. But that's one way to finance, and most people will go that way. They use corporations as finance in selling the stock shares, as my understanding of it is.
I agree. But if you do go the IPO route, do you not open yourself to the exposure of manipulation of the stock price with the funny money?
Absolutely, because the first people that are going to come in, if you have a really good idea and want to take a position on your board of directors because they hold the majority of the proxy shares as a holding company in your business, will be Westinghouse and General Electric and Barclays Capital and State Street Global Advisors. They'll hold the stock shares, and because they have the voting rights, they'll vote in the board of directors. And as we've discovered in our studies, Mark, the board of directors actually run the company, not the chief executive officer and the chief financial officer. They're just the point men.
And Westinghouse coming in and buying some of the shares. Let's also don't forget that your state governments, your federal governments, your municipal employees, all of them can buy into it also. And then they come out and they demand that they have a representative on the board of directors because of the percentage of shares that they hold.
Exactly. And so what happens, happens in most boards of directors and things like that. The first thing you do when you have, let's say you develop an organization and you elect officers, then you get all the members out there that want to be, have a word in the direction of things. And so you create a board of directors and bylaws. And what happens there is you give people, let's say 12 people, the opportunity to sit on the board of directors. So they come in and they've got all these grandiose ideas and plans, and you just let them go ahead and exhaust themselves because they have no financing for it. And then what happens is the originals stand into the shadows. They go back into the back room again. They conduct business as usual, but they do it in the back room with the brandy snifters and the cigars, and they let the board of directors feel like they've really something special out in front. So there's many layers to this onion skin, and as we peel back one after the next, we'll find that banking is far more than just saying, going out on the street, Mark, with our signs going, end the Fed, end the Fed, end the Fed. That's not going to work.
That's exactly right. That's why I'm trying to figure out how innovation could be stifled. And that's what led me down this road.
Right.
And like I say, I don't know the length of terms that a corporation, which we both know never dies.
Right.
Never dies. So it may be able to get a 250-year note. And if it does, that note will be protected by excluding the debt availability to other ideas that could actually benefit society in a more up-to-date way.
Well, I don't know what we could find by studying, John Perkins' book, Confessions of the Economic Hitman, but if we study the writings, that have come out of the various think tanks in association with the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, I think we'll see a model for exactly what you're saying. But, hey, great call, Mark. I'm going to try and
close out. Thanks, William.
Yeah, I'll close out the broadcast in the next segment.
Bye.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined food, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals have created our 40-day, 40-night, 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free, 10 to 20-year shelf life. The pail contains enough whole food and nutrition for one person to survive well for 40 days and nights, with recipes too. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. The pail includes organic rolled oats, millet, brown rice, green lentils, garbanzo beans, black beans, pinto beans, quinoa, pancake mix, non-fat powdered milk, sprout blend, sprouted sunflower seeds, organic inner food, chia seeds, miso powder, and a Cajun spice blend to give some flavor to your meals. This is 100% organic. This is the way to get prepared. Call today, 866-762-9238, or go to enerfood.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available, and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Radio X. With your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And again, it's so great, you know, to have callers come in and like that, you know, Mark, good call, you know, the idea coming out on point, on topic, and continuing the discussion, really, rather than taking it someplace else. You know, we get all caught up in all a lot of this patriot mythology, and as you can find, as we go in and dig deeper, we just bust it all loose. You know, we just bust it all loose, piece by piece, part by part, understanding more about it. In comparison with most other branches of business, a smaller proportion, seldom as much as one-fifth and often less than one-tenth, of the funds employed in banking is furnished by the shareholders or the owners. All right? So you think, oh, Goldman Sachs, look at the size of their building. Wow, this is incredible. You know, here's HSBC, the banking corporation. Man, they've just got to be rolling in the do-re-mi. Well, they are now. But when you go into a private bank, you get a charter to have a start a bank. You don't need as much, near as much money as you might think to get started in it. But somebody's got to tip their hat to you. Somebody's going to have to give you the tip of the old fedora to get you involved in it. Otherwise, you won't have a chance. It's like stifling competition. The banks don't like any competition either. They want to amalgamate. They want to merge. This is the age of mergers and acquisitions. But it takes less money than starting something else up. If you're going to start up a little energy company or something like that, you're going to have all the money to develop the design. You're going to have the money to go through the patent process. You have to wait for patent approvals. Then you're going to have to get marketing strategies. And you're going to have to go through the initial public offering, all the legal funds associated with creating the corporation, so on and so forth. It all racks up. So, continuing, either through the providing of capital or through the building up of a surplus from profits retained in their enterprise, since no considerable amount of fixed assets is required in banking. I'll say it again. Since no considerable amount of fixed asset is required in banking, capital and surplus funds are employed like other resources and may be required primarily as a means of providing a margin of safety, contributing to the establishment of a widespread confidence in banks and thus enabling them to secure funds from the two, or in some communities, three sources which they are organized to tap. All right? Confidence. The Federal Reserve banking system is doing everything they can to shore up consumer confidence. People don't have any confidence, they don't go shopping. And if we are a consumer-driven system, that's really bad news, bears. All right, so what are these sources, two or three maybe sources that they're organized to tap? What are the banks tapping? Remember, I don't say it just to be funny, Goldman Sachs, it's like a parasite, all right? It's like a tick, a wood tick burrowed into your back, just living off of the host, sucking the lifeblood out of you, all right? Is the same globalist parasites that we need to get rid of. Get them off our back. Collectivism in all of its format, gone. Go back to individualism, as our teachings in the Book of Accountings shared with us. These three sources are, first, savings. Man, they're going to go after your savings. They keep telling you, well, the Americans just aren't saving enough. Americans aren't saving enough. Well, they're not saving enough in Greece either, and taking the money out of the banks. And that's really hurting the bankster gangsters, because people are putting it in mattresses, and they're taking it to gold, and they're putting it in silver. First are savings, some portion of which is lodged with banks as deposits because the owners are either temporarily or permanently disinclined to invest on their own account. And boy, they love that. You think about all the money that is extorted from you over the course of your working life, your career, to go into Medicare, Medicaid, Part A, Part B, and Social Security. If you had invested that money wisely as you went along, not only when you retired at age 65 or now maybe 70, not only would you have all of your principal intact, but you'd have all of that interest. You could live off the interest for the rest of your life, and you could leave the principal to your children. But that's not what's going on. It's like Peter's pants. It's like the Roman church. It's the Curia. They want you to donate 10% of all you earn to the church. Why? Well, because when you die, they want everything else. And then once you've died, they get to keep all of the principal, and they've been investing it all along, building cathedrals, etc. So that's something to be aware of. Second, the active working cash balances of individuals and organizations having payments to make and to receive, the active working cash balances, that's your gold, your silver, in these terminology. The bulk of these balances being represented in a highly developed banking system by demand deposits, checks. And checks are of pretty late origin here. But checks, they have that. This is their cash. This is what the banks live on. This is what they tap into. And third, some part of that portion of the purchasing medium held by the public outside the banks. What's a purchasing medium? That would be your notes, your Federal Reserve notes, purchasing medium held by the public outside the banks, which is reached by the issue of banknotes. So they reached out and they got that as well. Commercial banks are primarily concerned with the acquisition of funds from the second of these sources, namely the active working cash balances of individuals and organizations having payments to make and to receive. You've got to have time payments. You've got your telephone, you've got your water, your sewer, your garbage, you've got all of this stuff, you've got your internet expenses, you've got your insurance premiums that you have to pay, your property taxes that you have to pay, and so you keep and maintain a checking account. And because you keep and maintain your checking account, and you're always adding to it, trying to save up enough money so that you can get to the end of the month before you run out of money, the banks make money on your money deposits. They make money on your demand deposits. And this is the main place they go. So even though the banks have to show it on their books as a liability, it's actually an asset. It's their cash cow. And they just milk you when you come in the door, and they don't even give you a toaster half the time. Commercial banks are primarily concerned with the acquisition of funds from the second of these sources. It's a continuing succession of payments to make and to receive, find it inconvenient and even unnecessary to keep more than a certain amount of their resources in an immediately available form. So it's those bank accounts that you've got. Many considerations have a bearing upon the exact size of this amount in each particular instance. For example, in the case of a business, the important factors are the degree of certainty of regular payments by customers and the readiness with which other assets may be converted into cash. So there's more on that, but let's just jump ahead. Had a lot of stuff to cover today, but we'll just get what we can and then continue again tomorrow. Drop down quite a bit. This restraining influence, now, well, back up, requirements for money to be used outside the banks ordinarily increase in years of business activity and are certain to do so whenever there is a considerable rise in the level of prices and of money incomes. Now, you might say, well, the Federal Reserve banking system was created to minimize booms and busts. I guess, again, it's always to have a bust so that we have an immediate resurgent rise and a new boom, because the requirements for money to be used outside the banks ordinarily increase in years of business activity are certain to do so when there's a considerable rise in the level of prices and of money incomes. So everybody's getting raises, the inflation rate is roaring, house prices are going up, and the banks are raking it in. This restraining influence upon the expansion of credit exerted by an internal drain is greatly diminished if requirements for additional money can be satisfied by the issue of banknotes, since the absorption of gold or other reserve money will then amount only to that percentage of the notes which may be prescribed by law as a minimum reserve against them. So they, in these booms and bust cycles, what are the banks actually doing? They're dealing with their notes, their banknotes, but they're raking in all the gold and other reserve money. They're raking it all in. They've got all your cash. They got all your gold. They got all your silver. They got all the deeds to your houses. They got all the money. They got all the wealth. You don't have any of it. All you have is debt. Anyway, and my take on that one. Credit expansion by the banks of a single country is subject to a limitation similar. Again, it goes back to these reserves. And who sets the reserves? Oh, the Federal Reserve Bank sets the reserves. And Congress. And little Jimmy Geithner. And they're all in bed together, by the way. Not enough room in there for a pillow, so they throw the pillow out and they bring in a money bag. Credit expansion by the banks of a single country is subject to a limitation similar. So now we've expanded out to talk about the whole country. Although less immediate in its effect to that imposed upon the individual bank when its neighbors are not pursuing the same course, sooner or later, the resulting lack of equilibrium of payments with the rest of the world will deplete reserves through gold exports and enforce credit situations will enforce credit restraint. The amount of gold involved in such situations will ordinarily not be very considerable, for it is not the settlements made with gold, but the consequent cessation of credit expansion which restores that equilibrium. So how do they gather up all the gold of the world? The same process. Wash, rinse, and repeat. Just turn the crank, and it works decade after decade. I'll be back tomorrow. Hope you will be too. Until the next time, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Introducing the world's first and only Swiss Gold Savings Plan, specifically designed to be simple and affordable for families worldwide. This is the best way to trade rapidly depreciating paper money for gold. Our product is 999.9% fine Kinnebar-grade gold ingots, refined in weights as small as 0.5 gram, and embedded into a protective card. Finally, everybody can afford to protect themselves with gold. And, best of all, you now have a zero-cost, zero-obligation, once-in-a-lifetime golden opportunity to earn true wealth by sharing this plan with others. Until now, available only to the Europeans, The program has just opened in the U.S. and Canada and is experiencing explosive growth. When you have everything to gain and nothing to lose, you owe it to yourself to at least check it out. For full details, please go to www.SwissGoldByTheGram.com or click on our banner ad on the OracleBroadcasting.com website. They say timing is everything, and your timing is perfect.
Hey, how's that Franken food working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras, guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
The home of cutting-edge talk radio. Online, worldwide, at OracleBroadcasting.com.